This is a homebrew podcast.
Slay the Stars is a D&D actual play podcast you're looking for. A dark fairy tale cosmic fantasy. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Listen in every other Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time on any major streaming platform. SlayTheStars.com per Somnia Ad Astra.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Mythcraft the Podcast. Let's go around and introduce our ardent anarchists. Tanner.
Hi, I'm Tanner, and I'm happy to be unmuted and be back on the show.
Nathan.
Hildegard, study your enemies, know what they like, you'll know how to hurt them.
Mal.
Thistle Featherfoot. I can't believe my mom could do magic.
Roger.
Lucien Delware. This loot was a gift from my mother.
And Cody.
Doorman Hollow. Never run the simulations. Let's just see where this car goes.
Super exciting news, everyone. Playtesting for Veil of the Eternal Night is going live. Be sure to watch your email for our backers out there for more information. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to join our Discord at discord.gg/mythcraft for further discussions and more information. So when we last left off, the party had been split. Lucien and Thistle managed to escape the fiery tomb that was the Great Oak Tavern and found themselves learning more about Thistle's caretakers than they ever thought they would. So when Chahosrin and Pashin soldiers arrived and reunited with the two, hope appeared to be peeking its head finally. Hildegard and Harlow were taken captive by Roshalani soldiers and transported to dangers unknown. Any attempt to escape was thwarted by the vigilant guards. As the two of them were teleported, they found themselves in a mysterious location with a terrifying voice addressing them. So, starting back up, we're going to go ahead and check on Lucien and Thistle first. So, what are you guys, after spending this last week in the cabin with Thistle's parents, what's going through you guys' heads as you're walking with this force of Chahosrin and Pashin soldiers back to Pash?
I think specifically in Lucien's head, there's this, I don't know, there's this great sense of, like, I can't believe that, like, we are still here, we are still together. The fact that, like, the stars aligning, that we were actually able to rescue Thistle's parents, and that they were able to, like, nurse me, Lucien, back to health. And now we actually potentially have the support that we need as we head back to Pash and to make a plight for what it is that we need to do. I think there's a lot of pondering about how everything happened so quickly, so powerfully, that these people were in the right spot at the right time, but it's still moving so fast.
Agree. Definitely pondering several things. My parents didn't die, which is very exciting. I didn't die, which is also very exciting. And as far as Thistle knows, everyone else besides Lucien was just taken. And now we have people of power with us, and we can get a plan ready and go rescue everybody.
As you guys start walking along the road to Pash, Queen Altano sort of hangs back a little bit in order to address Lucien and Thistle. So, what happened? We arrived and saw that the tavern was completely burnt to the ground and appeared so. Was it that way when you arrived, or did it happen as you were there?
It was still standing when we got there. Everything was on fire, and there were lots of Roshalani soldiers around. Everything happened so quickly, it's hard to say exactly in what order. But I know a friend helped me find my parents, and I somehow was able to get them out of a window before the whole thing just collapsed.
As this has alluded to, your grace, it was the best we could do to get the individuals out of there before crashing down.
So then, Elmwish was not bluffing when he alluded to the fact that the Roshalani forces are, for lack of a better term, multiple steps ahead of us in their planning.
Yeah, I really didn't want to believe him.
I would wish not to put myself in the mind of an individual such as Elmwish. However, if I were to, I would imagine that other individuals who have kind of looks over at this, old family members, loved ones, guardians, or other units, I imagine if they were able to do this to Thistle's family and connection, they do in fact have eyes on the others.
I think you'll need to retake that.
Cut out.
Yeah, that was very choppy.
I think you need to move your mic closer to your face since you lowered your gain.
Okay. All right. I love that for us. All right. Is this better? Just checking before I go in.
Yeah, much better. That's
sick. Well, I hate to put myself in the headspace of an individual such as Elmwish. I must say that if this is in fact the case with what we've experienced here at the Great Oak Tavern, it's safe to say that they do, in fact, not only have steps ahead of us, but eyes elsewhere, just as Elmwish had alleged.
Well, that is terrifying to say the least. Because if we don't know how far ahead of us our enemies are, we don't know which direction to go.
Your Grace, I must ask, do you not have agents of your own, which may be able to lend eyes and ears to your cause and to our plight, perchance? I understand this may be a sensitive question.
We have individuals that have been acting as scouts or spies over the past few months, including Parshan soldiers. To my knowledge, you actually saw the call to action from Parsh before you came to offer your relief. We have not received any word recently from our scouts that entered into Rashalani territory. Unfortunately, we have been forced to expect the worst. We're unsure of their current status and can only hope that we are wrong.
Understood. Understood. Yes.
So, you guys do travel along for a little while after this conversation. Before you start to see on the horizon the crest of the city of Parsh begin to break the horizon, and the towers of Lagardan University, which are seen from miles away, start to appear in the distance. As you do begin to move closer to the city, you see that some of the soldiers that are traveling with actually break off and move forward as though they're scouting ahead. And as you begin to move closer, you see that they've actually formed a sort of perimeter on the road just to offer that security for the queen and her traveling companions. And so, yeah, you guys start making your way through the entrance into the city. Very similar path that Thistle and Harlow took on that very first day entering into Parsh. So this is actually the exact same path that they entered into the city. As you begin walking through, you actually see the tavern off on the side of the road where the entire party met, and Lucian made that first bet with Kyrus on how much trouble they could get into.
I imagine if Kyrus was here now, well, I don't know if I exactly would say that we've won the bet, but we've certainly found ourselves in a bit of trouble, I would say. Wouldn't you agree, Thistle?
Yeah, I was going to say Thistle would have, like, tugged on your sleeve and just pointed and be like, that's where we met, isn't it?
That's precisely where we met. One of the only establishments in this city that, well, still allows me to grace it with my presence.
I'm so glad we met you.
Starting to realize, or at least question, if had we not all come together, maybe we wouldn't have found ourselves in this predicament, Thistle, but it's not good to dwell on the past and second-guess the decisions that we've already made, is it?
I've been wondering a little bit. I feel like the attack on my parents' tavern might have happened either way. I mean, I'm trying not to feel like it was my fault for leaving and going on adventures, but
none of this is your fault. You're guiltless in this endeavor. The machinations of the world do not fall onto your shoulders. Do not carry that weight.
Okay. But if I hadn't left and I hadn't met you all, and that had happened anyway, we wouldn't have been there to do anything to help. and I might have been in the middle of that too.
Well, that thistle would have been a terrible thing, Yandy. Maybe this cheery disposition, this positive outlook, is in fact exactly what we need. But I can't help but harbor just a smidge of anger. You know who I'm angry at, Thistle? Kyrus. She pops into
Thistle's
our lives.
Thistle's very confused.
No. Like, we're still, like paused looking at this tavern. She pops into our life. She brings us all together. And she disappears in the middle of the night to leave us to pick up what is left. Does that not make you angry, Thistle? Frustrate you? Or at least leave you curious as to why or where they have gone?
I mean, I do still wish she at least would have said goodbye.
At the very least!
That
at
hurts
the very
a little
least!
Bit. But I'm sure she has her reasons, and I'm sure she's doing something very important, and she'll be back with all of us as soon as she can.
Thistle, you keep me grounded. I appreciate you for this. Otherwise, my anger will take me away from this conversation. I, too, hope to see Kyrus very, very soon, because I would like to hear from her exactly what was so great and so prominent and so important that she would leave us. Maybe I'm mistaking this feeling, not of anger, but of disappointment, sadness. I thought we had something, Thistle, Kyrus, and I. She left me. She left all of us.
Yeah. I'm just going to continue to think that whatever her reasoning, it was really important. So important that she couldn't take 2 extra seconds to say goodbye to any of us. But it's fine. She'll show up at some point, I'm sure. And I hope she has a very good explanation for why she was gone.
On that, I believe we can agree, Thistle. I hope it is polished and well-practiced. I hope it is something that is clean and efficient and explains all of the questions that I've been pondering these nights since she has left us. And if she gets it wrong, well, maybe we just give her a little bit of grief until she makes it up to us. What do you say?
I just hope whatever it is, that it's honest.
I'll take a good story over honesty any day, Thistle.
That is where we're a little bit different.
Ah, you have time to come around to my ways yet. It kind of like throws his arm around you as they proceed through the street.
Pat me on the head.
Perfect. Over this entire time, you start walking with Queen Ultano. So it's Queen Ultano, Sindel Ultano, and Brick walking with you through the city. And Lucien, you recognize immediately that the path you're taking is taking you directly to Lagardin University. That is the beeline that Queen Ultano is making right now.
Well, it's the place where things happen, so I imagine let's get this started.
So with that, we're actually going to take a quick break from Lucien and Thistle and check up on Harlow and Hildegard. So Harlow and Hildegard both, as your eyes begin to adjust from the teleportation spell, from going from outside with the sunlight to a darkened throne room, you find yourself looking up and seeing a very intimidating human male. Appears to be an older individual with graying hair and a scar across his face and a look of just pure determination in his appearance. He stands before a very large throne with a banner the size of which you have never seen before behind him, emblazoned with a symbol you have seen oh so many times before, a shield with a griffin emblazoned on the front. The man looks down at both of you.
So these are two of the pains I have had to endure for the past few weeks. The child and the old man. Where are your friends?
It's kind of hard for me to know that, given that I'm here. Where's here, and who are you? My name's Hildegard. Hello.
He looks over at Harlow.
Hey, killed one of my friends. The other two escaped.
It is hard for me to kill my own property. I simply reclaimed it.
So it's like that, huh, Kyle? Like that, huh? Okay. Okay.
Who said that?
Looking about the room, is there... There's water on either side of us? Like, what is that? Indoors, like, pools?
Yeah, just like fountains. Okay. It doesn't look like it's necessarily kind of active right now, but you do find yourself in a very large, ornately decorated, dark stone throne room.
Mm-hmm. Like marble,
with, looks like. Yeah, very, very dark, ornately decorated, dark marble. There are pools on either side with sconces lit. Adorned everywhere are sculptures of gold with gems in the eyes, on, you know, griffins, things of that nature, periodically spaced throughout. You are surrounded by multiple soldiers behind you, and you are still cuffed, with your hands in front of you, both of you are, with Harlow having the extra rope still tied around his wrists.
And the Emperor, you described his features, his attire. If you mentioned that, then I missed it. I apologize. What kind of, like, garb is he wearing?
So I didn't fully describe his clothing yet in his attire. So he is wearing what appears to be a very ornately decorated version of the Rashalani uniform that you've been seeing. Okay. Very similar to, like, the captain's attire, but with more ornaments and medals than the captain did. It appears as though all of this adornment is indicative of his status, and that is one of the ways that status is identified, at least in the Rashalani military, is through different adornments on the uniform, as opposed to what you witnessed in Shehosrin, where it is very much, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, not performance, but my brain just completely shut off for a second. The metal of their actions. Sure, we're just going to say that. So, retaking that. As opposed to what you witness in Shehosrin, where individuals of status are more recognized by their metal, as opposed to the metal they're adorned with. Right?
I see. Okay.
So, his uniform is definitely indicative of him being the top, one of the tops in command. And he looks down at you.
My name is Emperor Nirian. You are here in my castle in Rashalan. Have you never been to Tiberia?
I've never been to Rashalan, so no. We gonna get a tour?
Well, that depends on how helpful you are. I'm always looking for more soldiers to fill out my forces. And you have shown you have power. But trust is earned, and I do not trust you.
Nor I not you. Yet. Trust is a two-way road.
This is true. For a child, you are wise.
Less than a year shy of an adult, all right? You don't have to talk down to me.
Compared to me, child, you are a child.
Hildegard rolls her eyes visibly, like the most teenager action that she can take.
So, where do you think your friends have gone?
Hildegard will actually take a minute and think through the question, think about, like, realistically, where might they be, and where can she say that they might be without giving away too much. While thinking, I'd like to just glance, or while I was, like, in awe of the chamber that we're in, is Zalaria one of the guards that is in, like, the semicircle around us?
Zalaria is not there with you right now.
Is Ego Dwarfy?
Ego Dwarf? Ego Dwarf is here, yes.
Okay. Ego
he
dwarf.
He is directly behind Harlow.
Perfect.
Great. That's exactly where I want Ego Dwarf.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just figuring out what assets we have. I would look back to Emperor Nirian and say, I mean, we all came from West, so I imagine they're either still in Shehosrin, or they went back to Pash, either one. I don't know. I have no way of knowing.
Have you tried digging around in the ashes? It was a pretty hot fire.
So yes, what about you? Do you know where... Do you know where they might have gone?
Maybe if they didn't die, which they very well might have, I don't know. I don't really know either of them very well. That's the nature of our agreement. None of us really know each other.
Well, see, we know that you came from Pash. That is where you started. You came from Pash to go help Chahodrin.
Yeah, I was just looking for adventure.
And that you found.
Yeah, I look over at Hildegard and I'm like, yeah, but I don't think this was how it was supposed to go.
I really don't understand what you think you're going to get from us. I mean, you pretty much already got it. Might as well just throw us in a cage, right? Down to the dungeon?
See, I could do that. I could do that. Absolutely. Or you can be given a choice. Join the March of Progress. You see, what I have been trying to explain to this realm is that weakness is a stain on the canvas of existence, and I intend to paint over it crimson. We will succeed because we are guided by the Celestial Council.
Why crimson?
It's the color of blood.
Yeah, that doesn't seem too celestial to me. Like, aren't they supposed to be kind of, like, generous and stuff? I don't know, maybe paint over it in gold or something?
Child, your youth is refreshing. I have to say, it is a pleasant thing to witness.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, right, well, off to the dungeon we go.
Of course, old man. I would hate to intrude upon your day anymore. I will touch base with them later. You can go take them away.
Where's my piece of bread?
They escort you both down to the dungeons, where there are multiple cells. Where you are positioned, you see that there are two guards patrolling up and down the hallway. They did put you in cells directly across from each other. The only thing that you have in your rooms is a lantern on the wall and a bed. Honestly, the cot is fairly comfortable. It's not a horrible pillow. It's not, an itchy, scratchy blanket. It's fairly humane quarters, the same as the trip from the Great Oaks Tavern to here. They bring you meals. It's, again, bread, some fruits, a little bit of meat. It's not the best food you've ever had, but it's also not the worst food you've ever had either. Yeah, it is
captivity. It's like cooked meat, not like maggoty bread.
Right. It's, again, they're not being cruel to you by any means whatsoever. Okay. They are treating you very humane. There's no torture or anything like that. They, you guys are here for probably about 2 days. On the second day, they actually ask you for your pillow and blanket, and they give you a clean, fresh one. You're looking around, and there are a number of other cells. Obviously, the cells are just iron bars on either side. You can see through them. You see that there are a few other individuals that are a few cells away from you. This is a fairly large dungeon. From what you saw when you first walked through, just in the block that you're in, there are 12 cells in the section you're in, and you walked by about 5 sections that are identical. So this is a fairly large prison underneath this castle that you're in.
Are there a lot of other prisoners or just us?
In the block that you're in, there are 2 other prisoners that are placed a little ways away from you. There are 6 cells on either side, the left and right side of this hallway. Hildegard and Harlow are in the 3rd cell from the far wall. Consecutively, so you're right across from each other, the 3rd cell. There are 2 other people in the 6th cells, so 3 cells away from you, towards the door. You see that there are some individuals there. There is a younger human male inside one of the cells, and then there's a Hondu female in the one on the same side as Hildegard. And like I said, there are soldiers that kind of patrol up and down. I'd say probably about every 15, 20 minutes or so, they just kind of walk down the hall and walk back up. They do it pretty regularly and just appear to be like looking to make sure that no one's trying to break out or anything. They don't seem like they're trying to listen to conversations. They just do their rounds real quick and head back.
Would they engage in conversation if I tried to hear their life story?
You can give me a... You can give me a charisma check.
With empathy?
With fortuity?
I don't know. Not fortuity.
Fortuity.
I don't know if empathy is what I'm looking for here.
Okay.
I will allow savoir-faire.
Okay. I'll take it. That's a 9.
A 9? So the first time that you try one of the guards, like what would you be asking them or trying to do to start a conversation?
Do you choose to work in the prison block, or do you do something too? You get like a demotion or timeout.
Ooh.
Everyone does their rounds, and then they walk away.
All right.
I think so I'd again, probably ask out. The other prisoners, be like, "Hey, what are you in for?"
Yeah, so, I mean, even whenever that guard answered, they weren't being, like, rude or anything like that, but it definitely seemed like that was, like, a policy. Don't sit there and chit-chat with the prisoners. Are you asking the Hondu or the human?
Both.
So the...
I saw you two when I came in.
The human male, like, looks over at you through the bars. You can see the human male pretty easily. The Hondu female, it's a little bit harder through, like, some of the posts, the secure posts in between each cell, but the human male looks over.
I spoke out on the city square that I'm from Chi, and I spoke out against the Roshalani invasion into Chahosrin. The Hondu female looks over. Wrong place, wrong time, I suppose.
The Hondu female, does she have any resemblance to Kiris?
No. So this Hondu is, I feel like I'm going to regret saying this, has like a corgi appearance.
Okay. Oh my God.
Corgi.
Like an anthropomorphic corgi.
Yeah.
But with a, you can tell like a very deep scar on the right side of her face going all the way down her neck, down like towards her chest.
Wow.
How'd you get that scar?
Wrong place, wrong time, I suppose.
Yeah. We were helping our friends save their parents from dying in a fire. And they didn't like that because they burned it to the ground. They wanted them to die.
But Harlow, did you hear what the Emperor said? He wanted to know where they had gone. I think our friends are still alive.
Well, I had my suspicions they were still alive, but... I mean, you saw Lucian was right behind us and he was got smashed by a beam in the head and then fell to the ground and then the roof fell on him. And this was God knows where. I lost track of her in the flames.
Yeah, I mean, you know Lucian with his performances, he has been known to bring the house down.
But, if the Illuminati here thinks they're still alive, then they're probably still alive. And Harlow kind of, you know, does that thing where he puts his, like, finger on his chin, smiles, and nods.
Either Harlow or Hildegard, either one of you, give me an awareness check.
I mean, I am pretty good at awareness checks.
Yeah, it's probably a you thing.
I got an 11. It could have happened to anybody.
I will say that two of the guards that have passed, you saw one of them was a... so the one that Hildegard spoke to was a... I'd say probably about middle-aged human male. And then the next guard that walked by was a female dragon folk. And those are like the guards that are walking through right now, just to give you kind of an idea of the different guards that are patrolling.
Okay. And just to be sure, Harlow and I can see each other, right? Like the doors themselves are iron, even if the walls are
stone.
The doors are a little thicker
So they're a little bit harder to kind of see through, but like if you step over to like beside the door on the cells, you can see, like you can actually sit there and like make eye contact and talk to each other. But from your beds, there is a little bit of a divide there. It's harder to see through, but yeah, if you like walk to the side of the door, you could see through completely fine.
I want to wait until the guards are like not looking necessarily, until they've like gone. And I want to see, like, how hard would it be to, like, slip through that?
Also, real quick, yes, they did take off your cuffs whenever you were put into the cells. So, you actually are not...
my nose.
Yeah, you're not cuffed. When they put you in the cells, they did take your cuffs off. I forgot to mention that.
Is it, like, so slim that I could, like, absolutely not pass through that, even with, like, a contorting skill?
No, so it's not just like up and down slants. There's vertical and horizontal bars.
Well, you know, Harlow has no bones, right? And that he can go through the whole size.
The octopus man, the Kraken. Yeah, right.
The Kraken. No, he beat the Kraken. He's not the Kraken.
Yeah,
he beat
the Kraken.
Right, that's right.
But I stole his powers.
Yeah, There is no way that a grown man would be able to fit through these bars at all.
But what about a little 16-year-old person?
It would be very difficult for Thistle to squeeze through the bars.
What about a corgi?
Not quite. but yes, you guys are not cuffed, actually.
How hard would it be to punch the door and break it?
Extremely.
We're no longer cuffed. If I hold my hand out in front of me and flex, am I able to conjure up my claws? Or is there still a suppression here?
You cannot summon your claws.
All right.
Do you think that the wall would be easier to smash than the door?
I'm gonna let you give me a, like, investigating check for that.
I feel like Harlow's more of like, I'm gonna start punching and find out.
Right. I'm just going to start beating the shit out of everything until something breaks.
It's called the scientific method. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if I could, while Harlow is punching, if I could just study the architecture of the dungeon and see if any, like, dungeoneering might help me figure out a way out of here.
I will let you give me a dungeoneering just because it's fun.
Thanks. I'm obviously going to use astrology using Star's guidance.
I'm aware.
That is going to be a crit for a total of 30.
This dungeon is underneath the largest and most well-preserved building in the capital of one of the largest nations on this side of the continent. It is very, very well made and very well maintained.
All right. I'm very confident of all of that. Now I feel like I wasted a 20. Could have done with a nice 19 on that roll.
This dungeon prison is under the capital, like the castle, in the largest city, in the largest nation on this side of the continent, and is very well made and very well preserved. So.
Damn.
last question before Harlow, like, if you want to try to punch something, then by all means, but it's
I don't know if I can punch my way out of this one.
It's stone. I'm just wondering, and it's really sturdy stone. I'm just wondering, like, how much finger oil it would take to wear away at the stone, and how long and how effective that could be. I think we'll be here for a while, but maybe one day.
That's why I was thinking it'd be easier to do that to the door. If I punch the lock in just the right spot, I can destroy the mechanisms.
Find the pressure point.
Next guard's making their round.
Hello. Can I have some paper and like a pen or ink pot or something? I'm supposed to keep up with my studies.
Give me a charisma check.
I don't feel good.
Charisma.
Harlow, give me a charisma check.
Have anything applicable. 8.
Yeah, 20.
Yes! With a minus two. With a minus two to 18. So this guard will like look over to Hildegard.
Oh, I'll talk to someone about you maybe getting some paper.
Looks over at Hildegard. Or looks over at Harlow.
Are you going to throw up?
Come out of somewhere sooner or later.
I will get the medic.
And he turns around and walks away. It's the it's the human male who's doing his round on this one. He walks away and goes to go grab a medic.
Do you have a plan, Harlow?
No, I just don't feel good.
I'm sorry to hear that. Do you think they poisoned your food?
Probably. The Illuminati knows where I'm at, and they know what I'm eating. You know, they probably poisoned the bread.
I'm sorry. Well, it was nice knowing you.
Yeah. Hopefully, hopefully it's just gas.
I hope so. Right. If it is the worst, anything I need to know about the Illuminati, someone I can talk to avenge you?
I would just scratch my head and be like, what is the name of the town that I used to run in again?
That's a real good question. I don't think we came up with that.
Well, I would tell you that town once we've settled on it, exactly. And I would tell you to, like, you know, just find a street urchin and walk up to him and say that thing I said at dinner. The crow caws at midnight.
The crow caws at midnight, okay?
I'm not the crow.
So when do you call?
Well, I haven't called in like 40 years.
Shortly after like all of this, the same soldier comes back with a satyr male who like walks up, pierced through the bars.
What is going on? You don't feel good.
I don't feel good. I need extra rations.
Okay. Go ahead and get him some more rations, get him some bread and some fruits. If he's ill, it will soak up whatever's in his stomach. The satyr is going to make a check real quick.
He kind of like does a little bit of checking, has you come up to the bars so that he can, you know, do a little bit of a check on you. Doesn't come into the cell, doesn't unlock the cell or anything like that, but does his examination through the bars using a physician skill. So that's what I just rolled, was a intelligence check, which for the physician, the treatment rank, he has a rank 2 in this. And so a 15 or higher, he can cure any disease that is afflicting you, any common disease that is afflicting you. And so he rolled a 21 to work on curing any kind of disease. And with your nat 20 on your roll, just kind of pretending, he is under the impression that you probably have like a stomach bug that you picked up somewhere down the road, and is recommending you to just have some extra rations and some water to help you overcome this illness before he leaves. And
oh my god, this guy cured my lumbago.
Oh, jeez. So yeah, that's, we're going to go ahead and pause on these two right now. And we're going to go check in as Lucian and Thistle enter into the college and are led into a room, not the auditorium now, but a very large room with multiple rows of books and a very large animated telescope that appears to be like locking on to different areas in the sky. And then you see a quill on a piece of paper next to it that are animated, that is just writing down certain things. And it appears that this is just enchanted to be able to track certain like celestial objects and things of that nature. Some pretty advanced magic. But as you enter into this room with Queen Ultano, Sindel, and Brick, you find that Dean Livingston and General Tovald are in here waiting for you. And as you enter in, you take a seat at one of the tables. General Tovald and Dean Livingston are at the other. General Tovald will look at Lucien and Thistle.
So we have heard that you have run into the Roshelani forces. This is concerning because they were now on the border of Pash. And up until now, they have not interfered in any Poshan politics or our citizens, but quite a few Poshan citizens attend the Great Oaks Tavern. And to you, little one, I offer my condolences. I understand that that is where you are from, that your family owns the Great Oak.
Thank you. I know I'm small, but I am 10, so I'm not that little.
Little here does not mean, and I apologize for any offense, it is just a gentle term of endearment for someone who has undergone a severe trauma. I do apologize if it offended you. That was not my intention. It was meant to be a gesture of concern and care.
Well, thank you. And thank you, truly, for your condolences. It was really scary.
At this point in time, since Roshelan has now essentially engaged in an act of war with Pash, then we will be taking a more definitive stance in this endeavor moving forward. We brought you here because we understand that there is the possibility that some in your party might have been taken hostage by the Roshelanis. We also believe that some of the scouts that we sent ahead the same time that you went to Jehozrin might also have been taken captive. All of our scouts are sent with crane paper that should have been used to report multiple times over the last few weeks, and that has yet to occur. So if there's any information that you have to what you may have witnessed, any small detail, any conversation you may have heard when they might have been taken captive would be beneficial, so we can try to plan a rescue attempt for not only your compatriots, but our people as well.
I must apologize, General Tovald. And Lucien kind of looks over to Dean Livingston and kind of like does a little humble bow and acknowledges Dean Livingston as well. I must apologize. I will not be much help in this regard. I was unconscious towards the end of our encounter with the Roshelanis at the Great Oak Tavern. My compatriot Thistle here should potentially, maybe, be able to provide more insight, but unfortunately, I must say, even then, it was chaotic, to say the least. She kind of, like, looks down, not, like, expecting Thistle to, like, know much more, but giving you space.
I didn't actually see anything, did I? I just heard the put your hands up, because that's kind of what I was running with, but I'm realizing now I don't want to be, like, unintentionally leaving stuff out.
No, you did not see anything. You were on the other side of the tavern. You heard the put your hands up, and then your mom created the fog cloud in order to try to protect you all from being seen, and you snuck away before the soldiers started doing their patrols around the side of the building.
Okay.
And so Thistle didn't actually see anything, just heard the put your hands up. And what I will actually allow here is, in the moment, you were coming down from a very big trauma. You were still actively traumatized. I will allow Thistle to give me we're going to say either an awareness or an intelligence to see if Thistle gleaned any other information that maybe they didn't quite realize that they had gleaned from conversations, just to see.
Okay. Gonna do intelligence for a total of 16.
So with a 16, we are going to do a quick roll. So Thistle would have heard trying to think of how much I want to do here, or what at least I want to highlight. So Thistle would have probably heard one of the soldiers talking about how their people were killed and load them up, we're taking them back.
Okay.
In terms of where back is, you're not entirely sure. Just load them up,
we're taking them back.
Okay. So, Lucien, I know before everything was so chaotic and I only heard them say, put your hands up. I have been thinking really hard and I may have remembered something else. Yes.
Do tell.
So, you know, they said, put your hands up. My mum freaked out and the fog cloud came out of her hands. My mum can do magic. I keep forgetting that. Not important. Sorry. The other thing that they said, they mentioned that their people had also been killed. And to gather them up, we're taking them back. Except I don't know where back is. And I'm only hoping that they meant everyone else who's not here was getting gathered.
We can only hope.
So General Tovall would look at Dean Livingston and look over to Queen Altano before looking back at Thistle and Lucien.
Is there anything else?
I must say I'm at a loss here, and this is rare for me, but I have very little else to offer. We have reason to believe now here, thanks to Thistle, that our individuals, our friends, have been taken. Unfortunately, we know not where they have gone. I would hope, maybe with some of the individuals you have in your employ, scouts or otherwise, maybe you have some understanding of where they may have traveled, the recent movements of the Rashalani troops. Maybe you can fill in some of the gaps that we are missing.
I think the concern at this point is that they were taken not only into Rashalan, but into Tiberia itself. If that is the case, then this rescue mission might be a little bit harder than what was initially hoped.
But not impossible, right?
There's that hopeful disposition.
What is impossible to some is not impossible to everyone. However, there are certain things that need to be approached with a level of concern and a carefulness that is not easily explained or easily undergone. This might be a situation where the carefulness and concern needs to be withheld. We cannot just rush into a neighboring country regardless of any kind of aggression towards each other. Rashalan is much larger than either of our countries put together. Their forces are formidable. We don't know where they are stationed. We do not know how many they have. If we were to muster too many of our forces at once into one particular area, that would leave us susceptible on other sides. We don't know who Rashalan is allied with. If they are allied with Vanith, for instance, that would make it much more difficult for us to be able to muster our forces on one border while leaving ourselves susceptible on the other side.
It sounds like we need someone on the inside, somehow.
Which is where our scouts came in. That was the entire purpose of sending a small infiltration into Rashalan in the first place. We had a combination of soldiers and volunteers and even conscripted individuals that went into Rashalan with the sole purpose of infiltrating from the inside and giving us information.
I must imagine these individuals were rigorously selected and skilled at what they did, and I do not wish to think what may have befallen them, but I must say, maybe you just need the right individuals.
Is that you volunteering yourself?
They have the closest thing to what I would call friends that I've had in quite some time. It's my understanding that they are holding them hostage for some purpose, who knows what. Yes, I would gladly volunteer myself, my skills, my expertise. You need someone who can blend, someone who can be something else. I would gladly lend myself to this cause.
General Tovall would look over at Dean Livingston.
And what is your input into this?
Dean Livingston will look over at General Tovald before looking back at the other two.
Well, I have to say, I'm not entirely too thrilled with the idea of sending untrained adventurers into an enemy country, but the smaller the force, the less likely they'll be seen. And from the look of it, I mean, one of my own students, nonetheless, might be able to
at least not be seen long enough to determine where their friends are, and they can let us know.
Lucian whispers to Thistle whenever he says one of my students and corrects him under his breath and says his best student.
Are you trying to say this where he doesn't hear?
I am, in fact, yes, because that is not true, probably.
give me either a sneaking or an evading.
All right, I'm going to give you an evading. It'll be a 22.
All right, so he didn't necessarily hear you. He rolled an 11 on his awareness. Even with his perceiving, that's only an additional 3, so that's only a 14. So, yeah, he doesn't end up hearing you.
I think I would feel more comfortable if we could send someone who knows Rashalon. Someone who is familiar, at least, with the layout of the city and the population itself. He kind of has this look on his face of confusion and like he doesn't quite know what he wants to, like if it seems a far-fetched idea, before his eyes just dart straight to Brick. At which point Queen Ultano will look at him and look to Brick.
I cannot say that I'm thrilled with this idea, but it is up to Brick. He makes his own decisions on if he would want to assist Master Lucian and Thistle. So what say you, Brick?
Brick kind of looks over at Queen Ultano.
I did not ever want to return to Rashalon, but if friends need help, Brick will be there for them. Friend and his friends need Brick, so Brick will be there.
Queen Ultano just looks back at Dean Livingston as he has this big smile on his face as though he already knew what the outcome was going to be. He already knew that Brick was going to say yes, and he just needed to give that push. That very, like, he's obviously, it's not like he's trying to manipulate the situation, but that like, egotistical, I knew this was going to happen, type, like, face. Before looking back,
do we still have our contacts in Rashalon? Not the spies necessarily, but just our contacts.
General Tovald looks at him.
Yes, I believe so. What are you thinking?
Well, if I could just get a peek into a location in Rashalon, I might be able to open a doorway, a tunnel of sorts, and get them there a little bit faster. Granted, it'll still be a few days before we're ready to do that. I would have to send word, have word sent back, but over the next few days, we can go over a plan. We can start making a rough draft of what we want to do forward. As Lucian here knows, this college is very adept at making plans.
It's not wrong.
We will come up with a plan. You two feel free to prepare however it is that you would need to. When we are ready for you to head to Rashalon in order to try to save your friends and become, as you have said, eyes on the inside, we will send word for you. Until then, do what you need to prepare. Rest, relax, because relaxation will not occur for quite a while after you leave these grounds. I hope you are prepared, Lucian, to make all of us proud.
I think there's like a weight with that statement that kind of like hits a little bit heavier on the chest, which is still a little bit sore from the crushing weight of the Great Oak Tavern that had fallen upon it. As he kind of pats himself down as he stands up and scoots away from the desk there. General Tovald, Dean Livingston, I will do my very best. I will do very best. Thank you for your support. Thank you for this opportunity. Thistle?
As they open the door to leave, Dean Livingston kind of looks back over his shoulder. As they open the door, you see that it's not just a doorway where they're opening, but a portal of sorts. And you know that this is pretty typical of Dean Livingston after being in the college for a while. There's ways that he gets around quickly, especially in the college. But there's, you know, a portal in the doorway. And he looks back.
I must say, child, you remind me of your parents before stepping through the doorway, and the door closes behind him.
Lucian's left arm, like, almost just, like, on its own, kind of, like, lifts up in, like, a but wait motion as the door.
And so, we are going to check back in with Harlow and Hildegard. Real quick, both of you give me another awareness check. Or either one of you can do an awareness check.
All right.
As the next guard starts their rotation.
It's the tummy ache.
I don't feel good.
So yeah, I mean, a couple of hours after Harlow like starts talking about not feeling good and they give him some extra rations and some water, it goes around a shift change. So you see that there is a halfling male who starts his rotations kind of going up and down. Then you see a little bit after that, there is a Urkow male as well doing some rounds. And then you see that there's a third guard who walks through. And you see that there's a guard who walks through who's wearing a hood, which in and of itself is weird. And this guard starts walking down the hallway patrolling.
Has Hildegard received her paper?
You have not, no.
Okay. Excuse me.
As you say, excuse me, the guard kind of stops and turns, and you see a feline face under the hood.
A couple hours ago, I asked if it's not too much trouble if I could have some paper and a writing utensil. The guard said that I could, but never actually brought it back. So I was just wondering about that.
The guard, like, turns to look and kind of pulls back the hood a little bit, and you see that there is a black hairless Ketek. And Tanner, can you introduce your character for us?
Yeah, sure. We're Yay. Back at it again. Mr. Shermie here is a Ketek. He is hairless. He stands around 5'11", maybe, like always, tells people he's 6 foot. He's wearing Roshalani garb. He does have a hooded and pocketed cloak, though, that he does keep on. And he's doing his best to just do his role. He's just playing his part. Around his waist, you would see a couple of daggers, pouches that hold what look like throwables. And protruding behind him is a long tail, hairless as well, that is crooked on the end. And it holds a boomerang. On his right side, you would see three weasel balls, essentially. Like puffy tail, or like puffy, fluffy weasel.
Like weasel balls, like the cat toy, right?
Like the cat toy, essentially, yes. Like weasel balls that hang off the side.
That's not the image I have.
Oh, not weasel balls.
That is why I asked that question, because I could see Nathan's face.
I've never owned a cat. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that was
I
not.
I owned a cat, but we didn't have any weasel balls.
Okay, I owned a child, and we had a weasel ball for
I've got three weasel balls on my person right now. You don't just keep those on you.
But yeah, so that is his gear. That is his garb. And Shermie would just look to the other guards kind of as is this a request that we are fulfilling? Like, what's going on with this? Was this your guys' doing? What's happening?
There's actually currently no other guards in the hall with you.
Oh, they're gone. Okay, I thought I was...
They're all doing patrols, so there's patrols going on, and you're just in that patrol.
Okay. I don't think... Shermie would just continue patrolling. We'll clock this, and we'll go find out what's happening with this, because, again, we're taking care of our prisoners here. We're trying to build Stockholm Syndrome. We want them to fall in love with us. So Shermie will just kind of continue ahead and see what, if not Shermie specifically, what they can do about this paper, if that is an accommodation that they're willing to make.
Awesome. Yeah, so
as Shermie goes and does the round here, you start passing back up through the hallway as you're heading to the next hallway, and you pass by the sergeant at arms that's overseeing the prison for this shift. So you start walking past them.
Okay. And I guess I'll stop there, pay them their respects, however the Rashalani do it, whether it be standing at attention or saluting, whatever it may be. I would know this gentleman's name, or what would I? How would I refer to this gentleman?
You would know his name. You would refer to him as Sergeant.
Okay.
But the name is... I do have it here, I promise. I am prepared. Sergeant Rosen. R-O-W-S-O-N. Sergeant Rosen.
So pay respects. Excuse me, Sergeant. The young woman is asking for a pen and paper. Is that a request that we are going to fulfill?
Yes, she had asked for that earlier. I don't care. It's all anti-magic down there. It's not like she can do anything with it. So, yes, you can take some paper and quill. There's some in the desk over here. I don't care. You just go ahead and do that. Maybe then she will stop asking us for things. So, yes, approved. And he'll turn around and head back up the stairs to go where, like, you know, the armory and stuff like that is. He'll head back up that direction. And there's just a desk that, you know, different guards can sit at whenever it's time for their break, things like that. And you pull open one of the drawers, and there's a couple sheets of parchment and some quills with ink reserves in the quill.
Okay, right. Where are the pens? There's no pens. There's only feathers and ink. What the hell? Shermie will grab that stuff. Grab a handful, few pieces of paper, a quill, ink, and bring it back. Now, this being magicless, does that apply to everyone and everything? Or is that only specifically people who might have, like, certain magic dampening? Is that, like, if one was to have a magic item, would it have effect?
Give me an awareness or an intelligence check. I'll let you choose.
Okay, and I'm trying to evade a natural one here. Would you accept evading?
For this one...
I'm just kidding. I'll just roll awareness.
Yeah. I'm like...
That's sound logic.
Oh, okay.
I like the way you think.
Nice! Dirty nice. 20.
You have... So being a guard... The guards here are issued, like, bracelets that allow them to be able to use magic. It counteracts the anti-magic.
Okay.
In terms of magic items, once a magic item leaves your person, it would no longer function while you're in this dungeon.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, you would know that by setting down a magic item or, like, releasing a magic item, it would be null and void for as long as you're in the prison.
Okay. And then as I look through the desk, do I see anything? Is there anything that stands out to me in way of plans or blueprints or kind of the idea or the motives? That the use that we have for these prisons. Do I see anything like that to kind of get some situational awareness about our plans for the people that we're keeping captive here?
The only thing that you are seeing in this desk is guard schedules.
Okay.
That is the only thing besides just blank paper and quills is a guard schedule for people to be able to check, like, when their relief arrives, things of that nature.
Okay.
And it is not laminated.
Not laminated.
That was my next question.
I figured something like that was happening, so I wanted to put that out there.
Okay, I will bring the ink and quill and papers then back. I will clock the guard schedules, probably something that I already know, but second glance at that, and then I will work my way back into that room to fulfill the request to Hildegard. So I'll just walk up. And again, not saying too much, but just handing off the pen and paper and trying to accommodate the best I can.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Do you have plans for your writing?
Really just to improve my penmanship. A lot of my letters are kind of illegible. I'm still fairly new to the whole edumacation thing, and so I'm just trying to mm-hmm. keep my practice going.
Well, it's... Oh, I guess they're in separate... They're not together, right? Hildegard and Harlow?
We're across the...
Correct, yes. Yeah,
would I like know two... there? Would I have that understanding that they came in together?
Yeah, there's would usually like a briefing. So there'll be like briefings before your shift of like any potential problem, prisoners, new prisoners that have come in, things like that. You were informed that Harlow has extra rations and extra water right now okay. because of an illness. So there's a briefing before every shift where you'll be informed of those things.
Okay. I guess it pays to travel with somebody so wise. I hope your friend recovers quickly.
I hope so too. It must have been just some kind of bug or some I don't know. I don't want to say it was food poisoning. The food here has been quite lovely. I really appreciate it. What was your name, by the way?
My name is Shermy.
Shermy.
That's what my friends call me. So I guess you can call me that.
Thank you, Shermy. My name's Hildegard.
It's nice to meet you, Hildegard. Is that what everybody calls you?
Everybody that you need to know about.
Hmm. Well, Hildegard, best of luck with your penmanship.
Thank you.
And Shermy will turn to walk away. Continue his duties.
All right. And that is where we will end our session. Wanted to give another reminder. Be sure to join the Discord at discord.gg/mythcraft to get more information about the Veil of the Eternal Night playtesting content that is going to be releasing. For all of our backers out there, be sure to watch your email as well for more information. Everyone, be sure to join us next week. And until then, keep crafting those stories.